Well, just like you asked for, I'm kind of finding myself grappling with that question of what am I thinking of? Where are my thoughts throughout the day? And how do I reconcile the loving God and thinking about God with completing the things that I need to complete, which I guess I think I'm doing for God.
Great.
That's kind of
And
a
you know,
continual struggle for me.
and if you are, great. That's being focused on heavenly things. You know, what you just, maybe to help you some, wrap your mind around or consider, okay, I'm doing these things. Why am I doing these things? Well, to the Lord. Why? Not just stating it, consider it. Or am I doing it, again, I'm not saying this is true, right? Or am I doing it because I want my children to look a certain way?
So
Which
let me
be very temporally minded.
Let me say that differently, Sarah, is that you could be you and your children and another woman and the children of the exact same age that have days that look almost exact as the motions that you would go through. And one could be completely carnal minded and one could be completely in the spirit. But your structure of your day is identical. The activities you guide your children to could be identical. The way you prepare meals could be identical. But one could be carnal-minded and one could be spirit-led. So it's not about what we do, but it's about how we, as Pastor said, how do you walk into work? Same thing, two men work side by side, do the exact same task with the exact same outcome, with the exact same productivity, and one could be carnally minded for that day and one not.
Why did I go to work as a financial advisor at Merrill Lynch? Why did I go every day? Why did I want to grow our business? This came to a head in about 04, 05, 06 maybe, somewhere in there, where, you know, Merrill Lynch, they come in and they want you to do a year plan and talk about growth. And this was after Bill and I had not had the partner we used to have. It was just Bill and I, and we really had not much interest in growing our business. If it grew, fine, but we didn't care if it grew. Our incomes were plenty. Why do we want to grow our income? Well, that doesn't sit well with Merrill Lynch. They want me to grow my income because everybody needs to make more money. Why? Why? Now, there's nothing wrong with making more money if I'm going to use it for the kingdom. But if I'm just trying to build a nest egg so my kids each get $1 million when I die, why? Why? That's all very earthly minded. Why would I grow the business? Again, I'm not saying you ought not. I'm saying what drives you to that. And what I swim in the financial services industry is you got to make more money for your clients and for you. Why do I got to make them more money? Why? Tyler, when you go in to put on trades, why? Not that you shouldn't put on those trades, but why? And you can get caught up in the greed of it all. Just because it's a game or whatever goes through your mind. Why? What am I focused on? Unbelievers have no ability to focus on the eternal. They can try to fake it, but they really don't. We do have an ability to focus on the eternal. And by God's grace, we will continue to grow in that focus. Because we are spiritually minded and we can discern things spiritually. Brad, did you have your hand up? Are the microphone's dead or somebody ready to say something?
Waiting on anyone?
Tyler.
Tyler.
I've called him out enough. He's ready to speak now. Three times of being called out in public.
Going to retaliate.
Go ahead.
I'm thinking of Bodie's cartoon now.
Right.
I'd probably be crying quicker than I'll be retaliating. I was just kind of going back to the conference, but then also on today's sermon, I had just as many, and not really, I had more time sitting and listening through the conference where I was just going, he couldn't have said that any softer. He couldn't have said that more beautiful. As much as I had, and I had times where I was kind of like, that hurts. I don't like that. But there was so many times, I mean, the Proverbs 31:10, I've never heard you go through that. I've never thought about that. I've never spent a minute of time looking at what those words meant, and I just went, wow, that is awesome. God is awesome. And I don't look at my wife like that. And in the husband thing, I just had so many times of seeing Christ, seeing what he's done for me, and then thinking, I can't do this. And it just has really been breaking me. And I've gone through the Behold Your God study, and I'm behind. And so I just got done with week 4, and I got to the last page where it says, this is what it looks like to do religion, you know, and goes through, you know, do you love Jesus because what he can do for you, and do you love, do you get easily offended by things, and then I went through the list of, you know, what it looks like to love Christ, and it just... And it just had me broken, and I'm thinking about today's sermon, and what does that show me about Christ and the power that he places in me to live out of the Spirit and not out of my flesh, that I can have true victory in those areas where I just can't do it.
So you can love your wife as Christ loved the church.
Yeah, and that's
you can be self-sacrificial. You can live with her with understanding. You can cherish and nourish her.
And that all came, and you, the more you see, you know, when I was going through the Behold Your God study and it talked about seeing greater and greater revelation of who God is, I was like, come on. I mean, yeah, but you understand election and predestination, and that blows up your view of who God is, I mean, intensely. And then you understand that Christ drank the cup of God's wrath and not some, you know, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you know, the devil stabbing the knife, but it was God who crushed his son. And then, I mean, you understand that we're to be pure and holy, and I'm just like, yeah, I mean, I think I got the big ones. I mean, the more you see the power of God and the level that he stooped, and I still have some like, okay, what's really going to be next? Because
I can pass this test.
I'm here right now, and it feels like a lot, and I don't think it can get a lot more, but then I look at, I think of guys like Paul Washer and how he talks. He just, you know that he knows who God is. I mean, he just sets you on fire when you hear somebody talk that knows who God is. And that gives me so much affirmation that God has done something in me. Because I see those guys and I see Pastor when he preaches, and I see the way that it doesn't shake him when somebody doesn't like what he said or somebody doesn't like him, and man, it rocks my world when somebody gets a little bit upset with me. I'm just like, I can't take this. And I don't know, I look at that, I see Vody and just the wisdom in which he responds, and yet he's, I mean... these preachers, they have that sword and they just cut you right open. Versus most evangelical preachers who kind of come in and go, poke, poke, poke. But, oh, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. It's okay. And I don't know. So I'm kind of rambling, but just trying to be open with what God is doing. And I still, I don't know, I still see so many ways that I have to grow, that I am not yet there, and that I really don't want to go there. Because I'm going to be a monk in a cave, kind of.
Yep, don't take me to be a monk in a cave. That's where this thing ends up, I know it.
All right.
Kevin had something.
Okay.
I'll make this quick. We heard the Proverbs 31 sermon on the way up to Chicago before we went to Israel, and it was challenging at that time, and I think it was greatly affirmed in the message Saturday. And Pastor, my heart is so affectionate for the church, for this assembly. And as I'm thinking about all that's going on and the challenges that are swirling around, and how the people that have left have completely missed it, and my heart is breaking for them, because they're running from something which is piercing their hearts, and it's opening them up, and they're not willing to deal with it. And that is the truth from what I can see and from what I know personally. And so I'm resting comfortably in that spot. Although I don't like it and I want to confront it, I'm still resting in it in very much comfort. And what made me think about it was when Tyler started talking, and I'm thinking about this imagery of the army wife, okay? Strong, sturdy, mighty, and Pastor, you sort of made light of it in the sermon, saying that doesn't necessarily mean that you women that are dainty are not that way. And I, as I was thinking of this, I was thinking about Dara.
And the difference she is making in the life of my daughter. It's that dainty little thing is an army wife.
It talks like this.
But she is...
Pastor!
Give her the flu and she's got to go to the emergency room.
She is living out Titus 2 in the life of grace, and I'm so grateful for that.
Praise God.
Anybody else? Deb?
Debbie, Mrs. Bishop.
I've gone through Proverbs 31, as far as in the excellent wife. This is my fourth time that we just finished. I started off with 16 in the class. I ended up with 4. But I praise God for those 4.
Josh, would you turn that up a little?
And I wanted to encourage the wives here, because of being older and everything and seeing what they went through as far as their friends and what we have dealt with. In Saratoga, what I've learned, I don't have many friends. But like you said, and we've learned to just really trust God in this, that's not our identity. And He supplies what we need when we need it. And that, as hard as it is, that we have to look at that, okay, why does that hurt so bad? But if I'm doing what God wants me to, and as far as showing them the truth in these words with what he has made it real clear with how we're to be, I have to live it.
What choice do we have?
We don't have a choice.
In Saratoga, Wyoming, you start with 16 women and an excellent wife study and you end with 4.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to stay true to the word, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. And it happened when we were in Louisiana, too.
It happens in Louisiana, even.
Yeah.
Wyoming, Louisiana, and Iowa. Imagine that.
Yeah.
It happens in Zambia.
And so I just wanted to share that to encourage these ladies to keep on. You know, just to, that it's hard, but like you said this morning, as far as being submissive, if we're really being submissive, we really don't want to do it.
Right.
But we have to do it.
That's submission. Submission isn't doing something you already agree with. That's just doing something you agree with. See, it really takes the power of Christ to submit.
That's when we bristle up.
Right. Of course it is. So bristle up, and by the power of Christ, submit. And repent of your bristling. So, praise God. John, we're going to be here all night, it looks like.
I like it when you yell, Pastor, because I'm hard of hearing, as you know. And when I forget my hearing aid, you make sure I hear. And that's a good thing.
Okay. There we go.
All right. We have
a song to sing.
And we'll meet again tomorrow at 5:30 or something. I don't know.
He was kidding. Sophia said that was so funny. Because people chuckle, she has no idea.